Tech Talks connects professionals in the life science, medical device, and food industries with useful content like webinars, job openings, articles, and virtual meetings to help you succeed in your career. This Life Science Focus podcast brings together some of our editorial staff to share insights into the latest B2B industry news to keep you up to date.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the X-Talks Life Science Podcast. My name is Aisha Rashid, Senior Life Science Journalist at xtalks.com, and this week I'm delighted to introduce a special guest on the show. With us today is Jordan Plain, who is the President of the Métis Nation of Ontario Youth Council, a group of representatives from across the province of Ontario and Canada who advocate on behalf of the concerns and interests of Métis youth at the provincial level. Jordan is also a clinical consultant and trainer at Waypoint Center for Mental Health Care, as well as an advocate for cancer prevention. Jordan has a master's degree in social work and licenses and certifications in cognitive behavioral therapy. To mark Cancer Prevention Action Week, which took place during the third week of February, Jordan also has a personal story that she will share with us to help raise awareness about the importance of cancer prevention and screening, particularly among Métis communities. Cancer is a significant concern among Métis people, including women, as they face higher cancer rates than the non-Indigenous population. Jordan describes herself as a cancer previvor as she took preventative action to reduce her risk of breast cancer. To learn more about her story and work focused on improving health awareness, services, and outcomes for Métis communities, let's turn to Jordan. Jordan, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you so much for having me.
So I'd like to start off by asking you about the Métis Nation of Ontario Youth Council, of which you're currently the president of. And I'd like to know more about the organization in terms of what its core missions and goals are and how you navigate your role as president of the council.
Absolutely. So the Métis Nation of Ontario Youth Council has been around for a substantial amount of time. I'm, I believe, the third president that has had the pleasure of, I don't want to even say leading the Youth Council, but taking direction from the Youth Council to bring forward to the provincial, federal, as well as international stages. And the Youth Council really focuses on taking our directive from like a grassroots point of view, where we take that direction from local young people in the community and then attempt to elevate that voice again into that provincial, federal, and international space. From anything of what are young people wanting in terms of healthcare? What are young people wanting to be engaged in terms of climate change, nuclear waste, any of these issues that young people want to be consulted on or have their voices kind of in the conversation, that is my job and the council's job to elevate that. But we also are really focused on sitting with community and learning from them. That's one of our big core things, is that we do not make moves in any space without that consultation, without that conversation with the young people who we are elevating that voice.
And so in those conversations, what have you found are some of the issues at the forefront? I know there are a lot of issues that Indigenous communities like the Métis face in North America. So in your interactions and communications with people, what are some of the core issues, particularly related to health issues among Métis youth and among the general Métis communities in Canada and in Ontario?
Absolutely. There's two big areas that actually I think beautifully intersect. And I when I say beautifully, it's unfortunately beautiful that they intersect. And it's one, climate change. That's a huge thing for young people, I think, across Turtle Island, and particularly for Métis folks within the scope of Ontario, because climate change directly impacts our way of life and the way that we engage in our daily activities, which then subsequently results in a shift and change in mental health for Métis young people. And that's why I say they're beautifully connected, which is really sad, right? When the climate and the environment that has historically been there for us to harvest and engage in those practices is affected and shifting and changing, it affects our ability to take care of ourselves, have that connectivity to land. And so those tend to be the two big pillars when it comes to the Métis Nation of Ontario Youth Council is our focus on climate change, as well as health priorities, particularly mental health. I think that is undoubtedly also because I am a social worker and mental health tends to be one of my top priorities. But it's also that voice that we've heard from young people through continuous conversation and dialogue with them.
And in terms of the issues, particularly among the Métis youth, what types of things do they want to see? And are those things being communicated to you through the council?
Yeah, absolutely. I think some of the pressing concerns is that intersection and the lack of literature, the lack of resources that are out there for Métis people that are directly suffering from the impacts of climate change and how it has affected their health priorities. There aren't a lot of conversations that are happening around those intersections and how deeply hurt and how it has deeply impacted Métis people. Those two are what we're hearing. And how we take that is that I do a lot of advocacy, but also a lot of storytelling, knowledge sharing, and having conversations at the provincial, at the national, as well as on international stages around this gap that we are seeing and how can we direct some of those bigger players on the team and how can they help us? We know what our people need. So let's have conversations to see how we can shift our priorities and your priorities to kind of come a little bit more in line.
And related to some of the pressing health issues facing Métis communities, cancer is one of them. And it was very interesting and very cool to learn about your story as a cancer previvor. And I really do like that term. So could you tell us a bit more about your previvorship?
Yeah, absolutely. I always say I can't talk about my journey without talking about the journey of my mom, because I, as much as I look like her and I'm told I sound like her, I also have this wonderful gift that she's given me, which is a BRCA2 gene mutation, which makes me, they couldn't narrow down the exact percentage, but it was 80% plus likely to have breast cancer and or ovarian cancer in my lifetime, which that is a shockingly large number when we look at the larger statistics, not just of kind of like mainstream society, but as well as Indigenous statistics around getting breast cancer. That is a huge number. And so my mother unfortunately passed away about 28 days before my second birthday from breast cancer. And
so sorry
I
to hear that.
Oh, yeah, it
so
was.
Sorry to hear that, yeah.
It was, I think, a difficult thing for my family to navigate, but it also kicked off, that was the first of many family members either having breast cancer or ovarian cancer, and subsequently kicked off a giant research project on why my particular family had this gene or kind of was susceptible to breast cancer. And it was determined that we had the BRCA2 gene mutation, which made us highly likely of getting breast cancer and ovarian cancer. And so I've always had these conversations with my dad around ensuring that I'm taking health as a top priority, my physical health is a top priority. And so eventually when I got settled in my life and when I kind of bought a home, had a career, had the start of my career, myself and my now husband decided ultimately in 2020 that I would get tested to find out if I had the gene. And to my surprise, I did. And so that was really, I think, the start of, or the continuation of my previvorship journey. About a year after I found out I had the gene, I, on May 12th, 2021, underwent a preventative bilateral mastectomy with reconstruction at the North York General Hospital in Toronto. And I had what I would argue one of the best experiences. And now today I'm able to take that experience, seeing some of maybe the flaws in the healthcare system, particularly for Indigenous and Métis people, and take that. And again, what I do with the youth councils, I elevate that voice. And so I'm really trying to take my experience and elevate that so that more young people, young Métis people, can understand that breast cancer and ovarian cancer are not things that we just screen for in our 50s. They are things that we need to take preventative measures sometimes and understand that these are things that affect young people as well.
That's definitely a great message, and it's great that you're taking your experience and your learnings and sharing them. I think that's key to all of this and to improving everything across the board, from diagnosis, treatment, care, and outcomes. So that's excellent that you're doing this kind of work. It's very commendable. And having experienced this health journey, what gaps or challenges have you seen in healthcare, particularly for Métis people? And we know that there are challenges and gaps in care across the board for many minority and Indigenous communities in North America. But what are some of the challenges that are unique to the Métis?
Absolutely. I think the understanding of what a Métis person is, those are, at the bare minimum, some of the early experiences that I had to do a lot of education with my clinical team. They were phenomenal, but they didn't quite understand the unique perspective and worldview that I come from as a Métis person. I live in not a rural community. I live an hour and a half away from Toronto, but I had to travel an hour and a half to have my surgery because, unfortunately, to get two surgeons, because the surgery I had requires both a general surgeon as well as a plastic surgeon. Those aren't the resources that are available in my community. And I actually reside in one of the largest concentrations of Métis folks in Ontario. So if it's happening to me, it's happening to other folks. We're very fortunate. We have a hospital in Barrie that does have cancer treatment, but this particular preventative surgery had to be done in Toronto. So trying to articulate those experiences of being an Indigenous person, having to leave my community to go access healthcare in a very large city was a secondary concern as well. On top of the explaining who Métis people are and what my experience is like in my community.
And from your perspective, how can people make more of a concerted effort to learn more about Indigenous issues and just more about Indigenous communities like the Métis people in general? What can they do? And I guess also the second part of maybe a two-part question, but I'd also like to know from your perspective, in terms of not just the public awareness, but also what can policymakers, people in healthcare, drug developers, and advocacy groups, all of these stakeholders, we're seeing that there is a trend for the fostering of greater collaborations between these groups and different stakeholders. And so what are the specific efforts as a Métis person?
I think when we look at the data is almost like disaggregating data and having like very distinctions based data is really, really important rather than having like all Indigenous people have this number of likelihood of having cancer or this, having kind of some specific to First Nations folks, Inuit folks, Métis folks, because the more I talk about my experience, the more I'm actually seeing citizens from my community come and say, I have that same gene and I didn't know where to start. And I didn't know this was a thing that other people were affected by. And if there was more data that supported that we exist and these are struggles that we have, I think when we can see ourselves in some of the data, it helps us to want to be able to access places because then it gives, at least for me, it gives me an idea of, okay, at least they have somewhat of an understanding from a kind of academic lens of who I am. And now it's their job on a personal level to ask me, what does being Métis mean to you? Right? These are things that my care team asked me after I said, I'm Métis and this is what it is. They said, what does that mean? And when I had to talk about the spiritual component of who I am and the not having access to land for 6 weeks because I was recovering from surgery, all of these components that affect Métis people, having that larger conversation and not being afraid to ask when you see that your patients are identifying as Métis. I think that is a really important thing that we need to look at from a healthcare perspective.
In your work as a young Métis community leader, what kinds of changes are you seeing? I know it's a work in progress, of course, but by sharing your stories and leading the kinds of fantastic initiatives that you are, what kinds of changes have you seen so far, and what kind of hope are you seeing among the Métis?
I'm seeing a conversation, which 3 years ago, I didn't have anyone to turn to say, you're a Métis person and you have this gene. What was your experience? And I chose a preventative route. I know folks in my community that haven't chose that, and that's okay. It is their independent journey, but seeing a little bit more visibility and having more dialogue in the community is what I'm really seeing. It's also, it's an unfortunate parallel that I share with President Froh around President Froh just navigated breast cancer. And I, although I have not personally navigated breast cancer, I have gone a preventative route. And so she and I have taken kind of both of our experiences and are really trying to elevate those as Métis leaders and bring light to those conversations. I would still love to see within the Métis Nation of Ontario, within even kind of the provincial and federal level, is that when we look at preventative care, or particularly breast cancer, it does not just affect you the day you turn 50 or whatever that kind of doctors tell you, that it can affect you in any stage of your life. And if you feel something, if you see a lump, even in your 20s, it's important to get checked and to connect with your GP so they can refer you onwards. These are real issues that affect young people that I don't think we really shed a lot of light on. We kind of say, oh, I'll get a mammogram when I get that letter in the mail and it tells me I should do that. But it's okay that that if you're noticing something's off, connect and do that deeper dive.
And in the end, what are some steps that can help foster healthier and more empowered Métis communities, especially Métis youth?
I think continuously holding space for Métis youth to just talk. One thing I've really come to learn, and I've been an elected leader in the Métis Nation of Ontario Youth Council for, I'm coming up on 8 years, and president for almost four, is that young people love to talk and they love to have their voices heard so that programs can be developed because of their thoughts. Young people are thinkers and movers and shakers. And if we can simply pause and hold space for us to have these important conversations, and then we can move to those system level changes. But we can't change systems. We can't go higher without having that influence kind of from that grassroots level.
That was a wonderful ending message. Jordan, I want to thank you so much for your time in being on the podcast today.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right, that's the end of this episode of the X Talks Life Science Podcast. If you liked today's show, don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. Thank you all for joining, and see you next week. Bye for now.
If you enjoyed our discussions today, please share the episode with your friends and colleagues, and be sure to subscribe in order to be notified when a new episode is released. To join in on the discussion, you can find X Talks on social media. Email podcast@xtalks.com or comment on the articles directly. Links are in the show description. Take a moment to join our community at xtalks.com to get access to everything we have to offer, including webinars, job listings, virtual meetings, articles, and more. The views and opinions expressed in the podcast are those of the speakers sharing them. They should not be taken as professional advice and do not necessarily reflect the policy or position Honeycomb Worldwide. For further information, email us at podcast@xtalks.com. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next week.